朋友们，大家早上好，今天是2021年2月24日，星期三。我们再次荣幸地邀请到了 Radha Chiran Prabhu 为我们继续讲解《永恒的 Chaitanya 经》Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Hare Krishna。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta
Vrinda。Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda
Jai Advaita
Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Reading this morning from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 24, the 61 explanation of the Atmarama verse.
我们今天继续来讲永恒的 Chaitanya 经 Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第24章 Atmaram 师节的61项解释。
We are broadcasting this morning from Shrida Mayapur.
今天早上我们在 Shrida Mayapur 马耶普圣地给大家直播。
And we are very happy to resume our Wednesday class.
很高兴我们星期三的早课又恢复了。
We want to show our appreciation to the devotees who have worked hard to put back the broadcasting of the morning lectures.
奉献者们付出了非常大的努力才把每一天的早课重新恢复，我们对他们表示谢意。
And we are happy to have a new host, Krishna Kumari Mataji.
然后我们也很高兴迎来了我们新的主持人 Krishna Kumari Mataji.
So we continue our reading of the Teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Sanatan Goswami.
我们继续来讲 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Sanatan Goswami 的教导。
This is the final part of this chapter.
这是本章的最后一个部分。
Where Sanatan Goswami has requested Lord Chaitanya to give him a synopsis of the lifestyle of a devotee.
Sanatan Goswami 请求 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就一位奉献者的生活方式给一个概要。
So lifestyle of a devotee means behavior, attitude, daily routine.
那么对于奉献者来说，生活方式就是意味着他们的心态，他们的这个态度，还有呢他们每天的这种生活方式以及行为方式。
Srila Rupa Goswami has described that there are 64 major items of rules and regulations for a practicing devotee.
Srila Rupa Goswami 曾经说过，对于一个在修习的奉献者而言，有64项规范原则。
Out of these 64, five are most important.
而在这64项之中，其中有五项是最为重要的。
One is to read the Srimad Bhagavatam.
第一条就是去阅读圣典博伽瓦坛。
One is deity worship.
一条是神像崇拜。
One is chanting the holy name.
然后是唱诵念诵主的圣名。
One is to associate with the devotees.
然后是跟奉献者的联谊。
And one is to reside in the holy dham of Vrindavan or Mathura or Mayapur or Jagannath Puri.
然后呢就是住在圣地，比如说像 Vrindavan, Mathura, Mayapur, 或者是 Jagannath Puri.
All of them or any one of them can bring one perfection.
无论是其中的一项还是所有的都可以让一个人达到完美。
Now there is something very interesting that I'd like to share with all of you.
然后我也想跟大家分享一些非常有意思的东西。
Which has come out of discussions here in Mayapur in our study of the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
就在我们这里，在 Mayapur, 我们在研习 Chaitanya Charitamrita. 那我想跟大家分享一下我们在这个课堂上的一些讨论。
Because we had previously the teachings of Rupa Goswami.
因为我们在这之前已经讲到了 Rupa Goswami 的教导。
And the teachings of Rupa Goswami focus mainly on the different relationships with Krishna and his pure devotees in the spiritual world.
那 Rupa Goswami 的教导当中主要讲到的是在灵性世界不同的奉献者和 Krishna 之间的不同的关系。
And then we have the teachings to Sanatana Goswami.
然后我们接下来就讲到了 给 Sanatana Goswami 的教导了。
Of course, the teachings to Sanatana Goswami are much more elaborate.
当然了，给 Sanatana Goswami 的这个教导就更加的展开，更加的详细了。
And they cover many different topics.
而且呢，覆盖到了很多的话题。
And one of those topics is the topics of what is the daily lifestyle of a Vaishnava.
那其中的一个主题就是一个 Vaishnava 奉献者每天的生活方式是什么。
Now, it's interesting that everything that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining to Sanatana Goswami is actually found in Rupa Goswami's writing.
那非常有意思的就是实际上呢 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 给 Sanatana Goswami 的所有的这些教导都可以在 Rupa Goswami 的传注当中看到。
So, the question is, who wrote what?
所以我们现在要提的一个问题是是谁写了哪些内容呢？
And the answer to this is that Sanatana Goswami is the acharya of Sambandha Gyan.
那我们的这个结论就是 Sanatana Goswami 他主要是阐释 Sambandha Gyan 的一位 acharya.
Which means that Sanatana Goswami presents all the elements of pure devotional service from the neophyte platform to the liberated platform.
所以呢就是 Sanatana Goswami 呢他其实讲到的就是整个奉爱服务的整个其中所囊括的一切的元素从这个最基础的奉爱服务最基础的阶梯开始一直到纯粹的境界。
So he presents all the information, all the knowledge that there is to know.
所以呢他就给我们呈现了所有我们应当了解的信息和知识。
And that of course he receives from Lord Chaitanya.
当然了所有的这些信息和知识都是来自于 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的教导。
Then Rupa Goswami takes from what he learned from Lord Chaitanya, but he also takes elements from Sanatana Goswami, and he presents how to apply this in a practical manner so that realization will come forward.
那对于 Rupa Goswami 来说呢他就是把他从 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 那里听来的教导然后又萃取了 Sanatana Goswami 的这些教导然后呢他把他们就是把他们组合在一起然后呢就写出了就是所有的这些奉爱服的元素是怎么样去实际的运用到生活之中的然后又是如何给我们带来这个觉悟的。
So Rupa Goswami represents Abhideya Gyan, which means how to practice and how to put things into motion in devotional service.
所以呢 ,Rupa Goswami 呢它实际上就代表的是 Abhideya Gyan, 意思就是说怎么样把这个奉爱服务的知识去运用到生活当中然后奉献者们他们是怎么样被驱动的怎么样去行动的
Therefore many things that we are reading now which are all the different aspects of daily life and devotional service are actually found in Rupa Goswami's books
所以说呢我们现在谈到的就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 给 Sanatana Goswami 的教导里面很多都涉及到日常的一些行为啊这个宗旨那么所有的这些其实都可以在 Rupa Goswami 的书里面看到
So there's a lot of history actually about the interaction between the six Goswamis of Vrindavan when they were together
其实有很多文献当中就提到了就是 Vrindavan 的六 Goswami 们之间当他们在一起相互的讨论的时候的这些情景和内容
They were not always together
其实他们并不是总是在一起的
Some lived in Vrindavan at the actual place of Vrindavan Some lived at Govardhan
有的是生活在这个 Vrindavan 就是 Vrindavan 这个具体的地方然后有的人他们是生活在 Govardhan
Some lived near Varshana.
然后呢，有的是住在 Varshana 附近。
They were all spread around Braj.
所以呢，就是 Braj 是一个更大范围的一个地方，他们其实是分散在不同的区域的。
But they would also get together.
但是他们也会时不时的聚集到一起。
And the place where they would get together is actually where is today the Radha Damodar Temple.In Vrindavan.
那他们经常聚集的这个地方就是现在的 Radha Damodar 庙宇这个聚集的地方。
So of course in those days there was no downtown Vrindavan, it was just forest.
当然了，在那个时候还谈不上像现在有的这个 Vrindavan 的小镇中心，到处都是森林遍布。
The place where they used to meet,was known as Sevakunj, which is where Radha and Krishna perform their night pastime.
他们经常聚集的那个地方，具体来说就是 Sevakunj. 那这个就是Krishna 和牧牛姑娘们经常在晚上一起度过快乐的时光的地方。
So this is where you find today the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami.
那在今天在那个地方，你就会看到 Rupa Goswami 的 Samadhi,
the Bhajan Kutir, the meditation place of Jiva Goswami.
还有 Jiva Goswami 的 Bhajan Kutir, 也就是 Jiva Goswami 曾经做这个 Bhajan 的地方，冥想的地方。
So it's mentioned that they would meet together and they would, of course, engage in hearing about Krishna, but they would also discuss their own books because each one of them was busy writing except for one.
那据说呢，他们就经常这样聚集在一起。当然，他们会聆听有关 Krishna 的很多话题，但是他们也会花很多时间来相互的谈论他们彼此的著作。因为在他们六个人当中，除了其中一个人之外，每个人都有自己的作品，都在做出写作。
So, without a doubt, they would exchange ideas. They would discuss the content.
所以呢，他们就会相互的交换一些意见然后呢，相互的去讨论他们在着手专注的内容。
And then each one presented their own books on specific topics.
然后每个人他们都会去呈现自己在写作的这本书。那么书里面呢都有不同的主题。
So they are being glorified for having assimilated all the teachings of the Vedas, all the teachings of the previous Acharyas, and they have consolidated all these teachings into.The few books that we have today.
那他们呢，就是说吸收了韦达经中所有教导的精要，以及过往的 Acharya 们的教导的精髓部分，然后呢，他们把他们全部都吸收，并且组合，并且去呈现就呈现为我们现在所以可以看到的这些非常浓缩版的这些书。
So, oftentimes in their books, when they quote a particular part of scriptures, they quote the Puranas, they quote the Vedas, they quote different books because they've studied them all. Now they bring the essence.
那么在他们这个书里面，他们也经常会引用像 Purana, 往事书，还有韦达经的，还有这些内容，因为这些书都是他们非常深入的研习过的，所以呢，这个时候他们就可以把其中的这个精髓的这个部分给呈现出来，在他们的书里。
I mean, it's actually amazing when you look at the work that they have done just for our benefit. Where are we ever going to go and look into all these books which are not even available anymore?To know the essence of pure devotional service.
所以当我们去看一下他们所留下的这些文献的话，我们可能会感到非常的惊叹，因为这些书其实到了今天你已经看不到他们的踪迹了。那我们到哪里才能去找到这么多的所有的这些卷帙浩繁的经典当中的这些精髓部分呢？如果没有他们的提炼。
So, you know, when we talk about gratitude, there is no way we can repay our debts to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan.
所以说到了这个感恩的话，我们就知道我们永远是亏欠 Vrindavan 的六 Goswami 的，他们的恩情永远无法偿还。
And even when we look at Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, how he is doing as the ultimate teacher of pure devotional service, where he is able to teach from the highest level of pure bhakti to the most smallest detail of what devotees should be doing on a daily basis.
然后呢，我们再看看 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 所留给我们的有关分爱服务的这个精髓的呈现。它是从最崇高的这个分爱服务的这个巅峰，这个最高的境界，一直讲到了我们的日常生活，尤其是作为一个奉献者日常生活中的点点滴滴。如果没有它的话，我们怎么可能看到所有的这一切呢？
So we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes he sits with a devotee and he will discuss very intimate pastimes of what goes on in Vrindavan and what goes on between Radha and Krishna.
那么有的时候我们会看到就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和他非常亲密的同游在一起，他们会谈到 Vrindavan 的这些甜蜜机密的这些逍遥时光，也谈到了就是 Radha他和 Krishna 之间的非常亲密的这些情感的交流。
And these pastimes are discussed in confidence. Only a handful of devotees can attend hearing those pastimes.
那这些逍遥时光通常都是秘而不宣的，只有和 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 非常亲近的这些奉献者，他的同游们才有机会可以聆听得到。
And unless you have attained the highest platform of pure devotional service, you will not be able to understand that.
除非你已经达到了分爱服务的纯粹境界，否则你是不可能理解的。
And then on the other hand, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes precious time to discuss all the tiny little details of everyday life. Why is he doing this?
然后 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 又用了那么多的宝贵的时间，这个不厌其烦地去谈一个奉献者日常生活中的那些细节，为什么他要花那么大的功夫去这么写呢？
Because pure love of Krishna is now given to the most fallen, therefore you have to take them to the lowest level in order to raise them to the highest platform.
因为现在这个纯粹的奉爱服务是给予了那些最堕落的灵魂的，所以我们要从他们原本所在的这个位置，也就是说一个最堕落的一个位置，把他们提升到一个最崇高最纯粹的地位。
So sometimes people think that rules and regulations are too restrictive and they are too boring.
有的时候人们会觉得那些规范原则呢，这个就是太让人太不自由太局限了，而且是太枯燥乏味了。
And they don't know whether they should follow them or not.
然后有的时候也不确定，我到底应当是去遵循呢，还是不遵循呢？
Of course, everything boils down to chanting the holy name of Krishna. This is really, and Rupa Goswami says, the main rule is always remember Krishna and never forget him.
当然了，所有的一切归根结底呢，还就是归于其中一点，最重要的就是去唱诵和念诵曼陀罗主的这个声明，就像 Rupa Goswami 说的一样，实际上最终极的这个原则就是永远记住 Krishna， 永远不忘记 Krishna。
So what does that mean? Always remember Krishna means you follow these rules and regulations. Always remember him.
那么什么叫做永远记住 Krishna 呢？永远铭记 Krishna， 意思就是说你在这些遵守所有的这些规范原则的这个同时，时时刻刻的想着 Krishna。
And never forget means you're on the highest platform. So both in two words, both aspects of devotional service are covered.
那永远不忘记 Krishna 就意味着一个人他已经达到了一个最高的奉爱服务的境界了，所以说就在这句话永远记住 Krishna 永远不忘记 Krishna之中，已经覆盖了整个从最基础的规范原则的修习，一直到最高的纯粹的境界。
So if the Supreme Lord in the form of Lord Chaitanya and if Sanatan Goswami in the form of his pure disciple have taken the time to discuss these topics of rules and regulations, then we should appreciate it and do the best to follow that.
那么如果说至尊人格守神，也就是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和他最纯粹的门徒，也就是 Sanatana Goswami， 都要用这么大的篇幅去讨论这些奉爱服务的规范原则，那我们就更应当心怀感激之情然后去遵循他，非常认真的去恪守。
Because we also have to look at the context of the time and situation that the devotee is expected to follow these rules.
那么就这个奉献者来遵循这些规范原则而言，我们也要去看一下所在的这个时间还有地点这些背景。
Sometimes it's just not practical.
有的时候呢，要完全的做到呢，似乎是不实际，不切实际的。
So there has to be some adjustments.
所以有的时候就要进行一些调整。
So we're going to continue going through this list of rules and regulations, which are, by the way, mostly centered around the worship of the deities.
那我们现在呢，继续来讲这个规范原则那么这些规范原则大多数都是围绕着神像崇拜的。
Because it's important for the neophyte devotee to have a focus both on the holy name and on the service to the deity to make the relationship personal.
因为对，特别是对于初级的奉献者来说呢，一方面要把他们的心意专注在念诵圣名上面，一方面呢又要专注在就是神像崇拜的这些服务细节上面，因为这样呢有助于他和主之间建立起一种更加个人的亲切的关系。
And they have a saying in English, the devil is in the details.
Devil.
Yeah.
英语里面有一句非常有意思的话，说的是这个细节见魔鬼。
I'm not sure why. It's an old saying. It's a famous saying. The devil is in the detail.
这是一句老话，但是我不知道他们为什么，就是它的出处到底为什么这么说，就是说细节见魔鬼。
But actually, Krishna is in the details.
但是实际上呢，细节在细节中可以看到 Krishna.
And these rules and regulations are there for us to learn to be attentive, to be focused, to be personal.
所以这些细节实际上就是让我们学会了全神贯注，让我们去注重这个细节，然后也。可以帮助我们在服务当中有这样的一种人格化的心态。
So we're not qualified and we don't have the vision to see Krishna face to face at the moment.
在我们现在的这个处境中，我们还没有这种资格去见面对面的见到 Krishna.
So therefore deity worship is introduced and Prabhupada says,Krishna is so far away, but now he has come. He is standing in front of you. Serve him.
所以呢，就有了这个神像崇拜。就像释迦牟尼说的一样Krishna 是在很远的地方，但是呢，现在 Krishna 来了，他就在你的面前，那你就去服务他吧。
So you have elaborate deity worship taking place in the temple.
所以呢，通常在神庙里面呢，就有非常。繁复的这个神像崇拜。
And then devotees, they have deity worship at home.
然后呢，奉献者们也会在这个家里面去进行神像崇拜。
At different levels.
但是呢，就是当然是处在不同的层面上。
Sometimes it's very elaborate, sometimes it's very simple.
有的时候呢，那就比较的复杂隆重，那么有的时候呢就是比较简化。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving different things that should be followed.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就在这里解释了神像崇拜应当遵循哪一些细节。
And we've been going through that list already, so we're going to continue.
我们前面呢已经讲到了，一一的都罗列过。那现在呢，我们继续往下讲。
So he says, describe deity worship, wherein one should offer food to Krishna at least 5 times daily, and in due time place him in a bed. You should also describe the process for offering arti, the worship of the Lord, according to the list of 5, 16, and 50 ingredients.
那么在这里呢，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 说呢， 就是他是对 Sanatana Goswami 说了，你要去描述神像崇拜，就是至少每一天要五次向 Krishna 供奉食物，而且呢到了一定的时候还要让Krishna 上床睡觉，你应当去描述去供奉 Arti 就是吉祥灯仪的这个程序，然后要根据五项或者是十六项或者是五十项物品去描述这个对主的崇拜。
So is this something that we should do every day at home?
那这个是不是我们每天应该在家里做的呢？
Well, that would be nice, but I don't think it's possible.
当然如果我们能够做到就再好不过了，不过我想这是不可能的。
So this is for the deity worship in the temple.
其实这一段话主要是指的是在庙里面的对神像的崇拜。
But we should be aware how the devotees actually serve Krishna.
但是我们要知道，就是我们要了解奉献者应当怎么样去服务神像。
And it's very interesting to note that when you read the Srimad Bhagavatam and you see how the Supreme Lord is being served, either in the Vaikuntha planets or even here in this world or in Goloka Vrindavan, they follow exactly the same procedure.
那么我们看一下圣典薄伽瓦坛里有关于这个服务主的这些细节的话，我们就会发现无论是在Vaikuntha 还是在我们这个世界还是在 Goloka Vrindavan， 他们服务的时候实际上就是完全和这里所说的这些细节是一致的。
So Prabhupada describes in detail what they are. He says the five ingredients of deity worship is very good scent, very good flowers, incense, lamp and something to eat.
那施拉帕帕在这个要旨里面就是说到了，因为刚才说到有五种、十六种和五十种物品，那在这里说到五种呢，就是对神像崇拜中用到的五种物品是什么？第一个就是要这个优质的香，然后第二个就是说非常好的鲜花，第三个呢，一个前面是说的就是实际上是那种精油芳香，然后第三种呢就是指的是点燃的那种香，然后第四个就是指的是灯啊，然后酥油灯，然后第五个呢指的就是食物。
Then he describes the 16 different ingredients.
然后呢又讲到了16种物品。
One, provide a sitting place.
第一个呢就是要提供一个座，坐的地方。
Two, ask Krishna to sit down.
然后第二个就是请 Krishna 坐下。
Three, offer Argya.
然后供奉 Argya.
So Argya is a kind of a substance to drink.
Argya 呢是一种饮料。
Offer water to wash the legs.
然后供奉这个水为他沐浴双腿。
Wash the mouth.
然后漱口。
Offer Madhu Parka.
然后还要供奉 Madhu Parka.
Parka.
Madhu Parka.
Yes, so Madhu Parka is also a very nice substance of honey and yogurt.
它是一种由这个蜂蜜和酸奶做成的食物 ,Madhu Parka.
Offer water to wash the mouth.
然后再进一步供奉这个水让它漱口。
Bathe the Lord.
然后给主沐浴。
Offer garments.
然后献上他的衣服。
Decorate the Lord's body with ornaments.
然后呢，也要用各种饰品来装扮主的身体。
Offer sweet scents.
然后呢，去供奉芳香油
Offer flowers with good fragrance, like the roses of the Champak.
然后呢，要去供奉这个。芳香四溢的鲜花，比如说像玫瑰花，还有 champaka 花。
Offer incense，
还要供奉香。
Offer a lamp，
这个是燃香哈。然后是供奉这个灯。
Give good food，
然后还要供奉这是美味的食物。
And offer prayers，
然后是祈祷。
And it's interesting when I read this out， Because I do my Giriraj Puja every morning and I follow every single one of them, but in a very basic way.
那当我读到这一些的时候，我就觉得非常有意思，因为每天我都要，就是服务我的 Giriraj， 那么就是我现在回想起来，就是所有刚才说的这十六项，其实都做到了，每个细节都做到了，只是，以非常简单的方式。
So when we look at this, we think, "Oh, this is so complicated."
那当我们读到这里的时候，就会觉得，实在是太复杂了。
But people even do this with each other. When you receive guests, you give them something to eat, you give them water to drink, you give them a place to sit. Yeah, I don't know if you wash your guests' feet, but actually it's part of the Chinese culture once a year, isn't it? The kids wash their parents' feet or grandparents?
It's
or the teacher?
It's to emphasize something.
Anyway, we have these kind of relationships already on the human platform.
但是实际上我们仔细想一下，其实说我们这个人跟人之间有的时候不也是这样相互服务和照顾的吗？比如说你有一个贵客啊，到临，那么你在家里面你也是这样的，给他接风洗尘，然后要给他水喝，给他让他坐到一个非常舒服的一个地方，但我不确定是不是你还要给他沐浴他的足，这个就很难讲了。不过好像在中国的传统里面，像现在的这个教育当中，也经常鼓励这个孩子们有一年有这么一次这样的仪式，给自己的母亲就是去给他们洗足这个是一个孝道当中的一个宣传吧。所以说其实在人跟人之间的这种关系当中也有这些服务的。
But now with this procedure, we see that the focus is on Krishna to establish a personal relationship. We do something by taking material ingredients and we offer them to Krishna, and that particular physical activity is giving us a chance to express our love and our care.
所以我们仔细的看一下刚才所说的这些细节的话，我们就会发现这个实际上就是对 Krishna 的非常专注的服务当中涉及到的这些细节。其实他用的都是一些物质的一些元素或者物质的这个物品去拿来为Krishna 服务，也就是转换成了以灵性的方式去服务 Krishna 了。那么在这个转换的过程当中，这个服务者也就是奉献者就去就是通过这个行动去表达对主对 Krishna 的这种爱和这个关心服务，这样子呢就建立起和主之间的一种非常个人的人格化的这种爱的关系了。
So in the pastimes of Krishna and all his devotees, these things are going on all the time.
那么在 Krishna 和他的奉献者的逍遥时光当中呢这样的一些服务是无处不在的。
So we practice until we reach that platform where we actually participate in the pastime. That's the whole idea.
所以我们其实在做奉爱服务、神像崇拜，都是在这里接受一个训练。然后呢，我们一直的这样子自我训练，到一定的时候呢，就非常的自然而然了。然后我们就有这个资格，就是加入到 Krishna 和他的奉献者的逍遥时光里。
So wow, there's a long list of things that devotees should be doing. Should we go through this?
It will be nice to know, but we know that we may not.
Anyway, the point is that we do something at home, because we are all at home.
就是这里的关键是什么呢？因为我们都是住在自己的家里的，所以说呢，我们每一个人在家里的时候是要去做一些服务的。
And we each have our own little standard. We do our best.
然后我们每个人都有自己的小标准，就是我们每一个人尽其所能吧。
Either we are restricted because of other family members.
有的时候是因为我们家里是有其他的家人同住的，所以说呢，我们也就是有了一些这个限制。
We are restricted by time because we have to go to work.
有的奉献者呢，是因为每天都要工作，所以说时间上不允许。
But we see, for example, Prabhupada explained how his father used to work all day.And then when he would come home at night before going to bed, he would never fail offering aarti to the deities and offering fresh food. Prabhupada was a little boy and he used to watch his father do this.
那师大爸爸就回忆起他小的时候，在他很小的时候，他爸爸是每天都要工作，然后每天都很晚才回家的。然后回家之后，在晚上睡觉之前，他的父亲每天如此，每天都要去做一个 RT， 每天都要供奉新鲜的这个食物。那个时候，师大爸爸还非常非常小，所以他经常是听到这个铃声。就知道他的父亲在这个做儿底。
And then Prabhupada told his father, I also want some deities like you have.
然后因为他的父亲天天这么做，所以说是啦，帕帕也向父亲发出一请求，说我也要像你一样，我也要神像。
So Prabhupada, Gaur Mohan, Prabhupada's father, he gave Prabhupada a small set of Radha Krishna deities.
所以呢 Gaur Mohan 也就是师大爸爸的这个父亲呢就给了他一对小神像。
It's also mentioned in the Bhagavatam in the glorification of the birth of King Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit, when he was a little boy, he was given deities of Radha Krishna also to worship.
那么在圣典薄伽瓦坛里面也讲到了 Parikshit 大君他小的时候他也被赐予了一对 Radha Krishna 的小神像 Srila Prabhupada 也是一样
So Lord Chaitanya continues The characteristics of the deity should be discussed As well as the characteristics of the Shalagram Shila You should also discuss visiting the deities in the temple And touring the holy places like Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka
那这里齐三年马哈巴布继续建议说呢，你应当去讨论神像的特质，也要讨论沙拉观希腊的品格。然后他说呢，你应当去讨论就是在这个庙里面去觐见神像的这个过程，以及去朝拜圣地，比如说像文达文、马图拉和杜尔卡。
So we are reading every morning the early letters that Srila Prabhupada wrote to his disciples.
我们现在呢，在每天在读，就是Srila Prabhupada 的给他早期的一些门徒的信件。
And Prabhupada was very keen to introduce deity worship all over the world. He was pushing his disciples to get deities from India to carve deities in their cities.
那Srila Prabhupada呢他也一直在鼓励他早期的这些门徒从印度请来这个神像然后在他们所在的这个城市里面根据这些神像的这种形象雕这个神像让他们亲手去雕
So why is it so important? Why did Prabhupada put so much emphasis in installing deities all over the world.
那为什么 Srila Prabhupada 在全世界各地去设立神像这方面这么的强调呢?
Yes. Because if you don't have that, you're not going to be clean, you're not going to be strict, you're not going to be punctual, you're not going to be Krishna conscious.
因为如果没有神像崇拜的话那你就做不到洁净你做不到严格做不到这个准时
Yes.
Yeah, the puncture and the and the last one is
You're not going to be focused.
你就没有办法去专注了。
Because Krishna is a person, so when Krishna is there waiting for you to serve him, you have to be fit. You have to be conscious.
也就是说呢，就是 Krishna 他其实就站在你的面前，等待了你去这个服务。所以说呢，你就必须要非常的专注，要。去这个去行动 然后你要让自己有资格去服务于他。
So I have to run to the market. I have to buy food. I have to buy flowers.
所以这就意味着围绕这个神像崇拜的话，就展开了很多其他的活动。比如说，你必须要就是赶紧要到这个花市去买那个鲜花，你还要去买食物，买那个水果。
Oh, I can't serve Krishna unless I have a clean body. I have to take a shower. I have to wear clean clothes.
那我得去服务。Krishna 神像，所以说我服务神像就是要有这个洁净的标准，所以这就意味着我一定是要沐浴干净，然后穿上干净的衣服。
Krishna is the purest of the pure, so to get closer and closer to Krishna, we have to also become pure.
那 Krishna 他是纯净中最纯粹者，所以说我们要一步一步的走进 Krishna 的话，那我们自己也要让自己纯净起来，纯粹起来。
And it's interesting, you know, here in Mayapur, you know, every day there are thousands of visitors. I look at them. All the ladies are dressed very nicely, very clean, their best saris, because they know I'm going to see Krishna.
因为就比如说在 Mayapur 每天都可以看到几百上千的这些朝圣者从印度各个地方来到这里，我们看到他们的这个穿着是非常的讲究的，所有的这些 Mataji 们他们都穿着他们最好的这个纱丽，非常的干净得体。
So Krishna is a person, and he wants to have a personal interaction with us.
所以说呢 ，Krishna 他是一个人，他想跟我们之间有一种非常个人的这个交流。
I mean, honestly speaking, if Prabhupada did not introduce deity worship in ISKCON, it would not go anywhere. Devotees would leave Krishna consciousness. There's no doubt about this.
所以说毫无疑问，如果是了帕布帕没有把这个神像崇拜引进到 ISKCON 中的话，我们要是看一下到现在的话，可能说几乎所有的奉献者都会离开。这是神像崇拜把大家聚集到一起，仍然在 Krishna 知觉之中。
It is such a powerful meditation.
这个神像崇拜是一种非常强大的冥想。
And it gives a chance to the devotees to be innovative, to be artistic, to think of so many different ways they can serve Krishna.
然后呢，神像崇拜也激发了奉献者们的这个创造力和他们的艺术才能。奉献者们呢？他们就会打开思路，用各种各样的方式和创造来服务于神像。
And what do we do when Lord Chaitanya says touring the holy places? What do we do when we're in Vrindavan, in Mathura or Dwarka? We go and see Krishna in the temple, or we go and visit the places where he performed his pastimes.
那么就是说呢，那个在 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在这里讲到了，就是绕拜。Vrindavan, Mathura 和 Dwarka 这样的圣地，那当我们到了圣地的时候，我们做些什么呢？一方面我们会去神庙里面去觐见神像，另外一方面我们也会去到很多上演逍遥时光的地方。
You know, it's a very, very different environment than when you enter a Buddhist temple in China. I mean, very different environment.
那我们可以感受一下，当我们走进了这个佛教的这个庙宇的时候，佛庙里面的时候，那佛庙里面的那个气氛和这个圣地的这些庙宇这个氛围是大不相同。
Or even entering a church or entering a mosque, a very different environment.
你去到一个教堂或者是清真寺里面，那就会发现那个环境氛围都完全不一样了。
If you visit Krishna temples in Jaipur, every temple people are chanting, dancing, offering things. I mean, it's just amazing. It's the people are already in the spiritual world in their consciousness.
所以，比如说我们到 Jagannath Puri 这样的圣地，我们到这个 Jaipur 的这个神庙里面，你就会看到一天从早到晚都有人在那儿不停的唱诵供奉然后舞蹈，就是人们就是这样翩翩起舞就是唱诵圣名，其实在他们的意识当中已经是在 灵性世界了。
And in all our temples, devotees, they go there for Mangalati all the way until evening, just chant and dance.
在我们的这个古城庙里的奉献者们在一大早这个蒙格拉提清晨的这个时间就来到庙宇里面、参加这个灯仪，然后一直到晚上、最晚的这个时候 整个的一天的从早到晚都有这个、唱诵和舞蹈。
But then Lord Chaitanya says, you should glorify the holy name and explain that one must carefully give up offenses when chanting the holy name. You should also describe the symptoms of a Vaishnava and explain that one must give up or nullify all kinds of、offenses when serving the deities.
然后扯淡亚马哈巴布继续说呢，你应当、去荣耀圣灵、你要去解释一个人应当、如何的就是、非常谨慎小心的放、就是抛开那些冒犯，就是在唱诵这个主的圣灵的时候如何去避免冒犯、你也应当去描述一位 Vaishnava 的特征、你要解释一下应当如何就是在神像崇拜的这个过程当中如何避免各种各样的 seva opera, 也就是在神像对神像崇拜过程中的种种的冒犯。
So why does he mention this? Because it is expected that, you know, we are giving the holy name. We don't know what to do with it. We just make offenses.
所以其实他在这里就是指出呢，我们只是在念诵圣名，但是实际上我们都不知道应当怎么样做好，因为在这个做的过程当中我们有各种各样的冒犯还都不自知。
We are given a new identity, Vaishnavas, but we don't really know what it means to be a Vaishnava, so we make offenses.
对，我们接受了一个新的身份叫做 Vaishnava, 也就是一位 Vaishnava 奉献者，但是我们真的不知道就是这个称呼中的这个真正的含义。所以说虽然我们好像是在做服务，但是实际上呢这是其中夹杂了各种各样的冒犯。
And the spiritual master is engaging the disciple in worshipping the deities, but the disciple is new to Krishna consciousness, so there will be many mistakes.
那灵性导师呢让这个门徒教导门徒去做神像崇拜，但是这个奉献者他还是非常的出席的，所以呢也不太熟悉也不太懂，所以说在这个服务的这个过程当中呢就会错误百出。
So you'll find all these different aspects of rules and regulations that we're just talking about now, they are in the nectar of devotion.
那我们刚才、就是讲到的这些规范原则是在《奉爱的甘露》这部经典里面可以读到的。
Then he says the items of worship such as water, conch shell, flowers, incense and lamp should be described. You should also mention chanting softly, offering prayers, circumambulating and offering obeisances. All these should be carefully described.
然后他接着说呢，崇拜的这些物品、比如说呢像水呀、海螺、鲜花还有香还有灯你都应当去描述，你还应当、就是讲，你还应当去讲述就是如何去很轻柔的唱诵，如何去供奉祷文、如何绕拜，如何顶拜、你应当、把这些这一切的细节都描述出来。
So we follow these things every day.
这是我们每一天都在做的，其实。
Hopefully everyone in this audience is offering some arti to their pictures, bowing down to the deities, offering some prayers, chanting your rounds. All these things we follow already.
其实在这里所讲到的，像这个供奉一些香啊、鲜花呀、顶拜呀、唱诵一些祷文呢，这些其实我们每天多多少少每个人都会做到的。
Then he says also how to take Krishna prasadam.
然后接下来他又说到了怎么样去荣耀 Krishna prasadam.
How to give up eating boga.
就是怎么去避免就是去吃这个 boga, 就是没有供奉过的这个食物，你怎么去放弃这样的一个不好的习惯。
We have to learn to eat only what's offered to Krishna.
就是我们应当只是食用供奉给 Krishna 的食物。
And then he says to describe how to give up blaspheming the devotees.
还有就是怎么样，就是避免去亵渎冒犯其他的奉献者。
Then he says you should describe the symptoms of a devotee, how to associate with devotees, how to satisfy a devotee by rendering service, how to give up the association of non-devotees. You should also explain the value of regularly hearing the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam.
接着扯淡点嘛哈帕布就描述说呢，你应当去描绘一个奉献者的特点，你应当描绘如何跟奉献者联谊，如何通过对奉献者服务而让他满意，如何放弃与非奉献者的交往，你应当解释有规律的唱诵和诵读有规律的聆听和诵读圣典波加瓦坦的价值所在。
SoThere's always the same question comes up. How is it possible to give up the association of non-devotees?
那么同样的这个问题呢，肯定会有人再次提出来，就是在这里说到了去避免和非奉献者的交往，或者放弃和非奉献者的交往，那这怎么可能呢？
We should all move to the Holy Dham.
难道意味着我们大家都应当搬到圣地来住吗？
Or we should all live in the same apartment.
还是就是我们大家奉献者就都住在一个地方。
Or we should go and live in a cave.
就在一个屋子里面，还是我们干脆就到山洞里面住着算了。
Devotees are often puzzled about this instruction.
所以关于这个训示，就是说，就是不要跟非奉献者交往这一点呢，奉献者经常是感到非常的困惑的。
We have our family members.
我们有家人。
We have the people we work with.
我们还有就是工作中的一些同事。
Ideally speaking, we should only associate with devotees.
就是最理想的情况，那当然是最好和奉献者，只是和奉献者在一起。
But to give up association of non-devotees is to give up absorbing their consciousness.
但是这里放弃跟非奉献者之间的这个交往是有深意的，意思就是说我们不要去吸收非奉献者的那些意识。
Prabhupada wanted the devotees to live together.
希拉帕帕的心愿就是奉献者能够居住在一起。
And even those who were householders who were living away from the temple, he wanted them to come to the temple to be in association with the devotees.
就算是那些不住在神庙里的居士们，那希拉帕帕也是希望他们能够常常来到这个庙里面和其他的奉献者一起联谊。
But we have a different situation in China. Many devotees live with their family members.
但是我们在中国的这个实际情况是很不一样的。大多数的这个奉献者都是跟家人居住在一起的。
And we have to be careful not to be fanatical.
而且呢，我们也要非常的小心，不要过于的教条狂热。
So we have to respect their position, and we have to make sure they respect our position.
所以说呢，我们要去尊重他们的处境，同样呢，也希望他们能来尊重我们。
Then he continues, you should describe the ritualistic duties to perform every day.And you should also describe the fortnightly duties, especially how to observe the fortnightly Ekadashi. You should also describe the duties to be observed every month. And you should especially describe the observance of ceremonies like Janamastami, Ramnavami, and Nrisimha Chaturdasi.
然后且天南马哈帕布继续说呢，你应当去描述每天应当履行的一些仪式责任，你应当去描述每14天应当去尽的责任，特别是怎么样去遵循半月一次的 Ekadasi 的这个戒食，你应当去描述每一个月应当要尽的这个责任，你还应当特别的描述到如何去庆祝和遵循诸如 Janmashtami, Ramanami, 就是这个Krishna 的显现日，还有就是主 Ram 的显现日， 以及这个 Nisinha Chaturdasi 就是主 Nisinha 对的显现日。
So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati established what is known as the Mayapur Panjika.
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati 他就是确立了一个叫 Mayapur Panjika 的。
Yes, Mayapur Panjika is the Vaishnav calendar.
这个 Mayapur Panjika 的意思就是说 Vaishnava 日历。
So this, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is mentioning, is following what is in the Vaishnav calendar. We looked at our Vaishnav calendar, so, oh, today is Ekadashi. Oh, but it's a half-day fast for Varahadev. But what do we do? Do we fast today? Do we fast tomorrow?
所以这个就是有这样的一个 Vaishnava 日历，奉献者们呢就有一个可以遵循的一个标准了。比如说我们看到，哦，今天是 Ekadashi, 哎，但是又下面标注着说要为主 Varahadev 的显现日来这个戒食半天啊，那么过完了这个 Ekadasi 之后，第二天到底哪个时间破戒呢？这个都可以在这个 Vaishnava 的日历上面啊看到。
So yesterday was Ekadasi and it was fasting for 2 days Varaha's appearance.
啊，昨天是 Ekadasi, 但是昨天呢是戒食半天，这个半天的戒食是为了今天的主 Varaha 的显现日。
And today you have to break your fast for Ekadasi and then you have the feast for Varaha Day.
然后今天呢就是首先就要打破 Ekadasi 的这个戒食，然后我们要为庆祝主 Varaha Day 有一个大餐。
And then tomorrow is a half-day fast for Lord Nityananda.
然后明天又接着是这个主尼迦南达显现日的一个半天戒食。
So really, our life is all about feasting and fasting.
所以我们的这个 Vaishnava 奉献者的这个生活，就是经常是这样的，大餐戒食，大餐戒食，这么交替着进行着。
We feast and fast all the way back to Godhead.
就是我们就这么一路的戒食啊，大餐戒食，大餐，一路回到这个灵性世界。
So we have to, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, following the Vaishnav calendar is very important for devotees.
所以 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 他说呢，要遵循这个 Vaishnava 的这个日历去生活是非常的重要的。
So he says Ekadashi, Janmashtami, Vamana Dwadasi, Ram Navami, Nishinya, he said all this should be followed. And then we have on top of that the appearance and disappearance of Vaishnava Acharyas.
然后所以说呢，就在这里说到像这个 Ekadasi, Janmashtami, Krishna 的显现是 Ramana Dwadasi, 还有 Ramanavami, 还有 Nisinha Chaturdasi, 还有就是就所有的这些都你要去描述，就在你的这个书里面。然后就对我们奉献者来说，除了这些主的这些显现日之外，还有一些 Acharya 们历代的先师们的显现日和隐居日也是要去庆祝的。
I remember in the early 1980s at New Mayapur, everything on the calendar we would cook 108 preparation.
Which year?
In the early 80s.
在这个80年代的初的时候，我们就是记得我们在这个 Vrindavan 的时候去庆祝那些节日的时候，每一次的这个节日我们都会有隆重的大餐。
Every acharya, every time, 108 different dishes was the standard.
也就是我们这个大餐是什么标准呢？至少要有108道，就是这些每一个 acharya 们的这个显现日或者隐居日也不例外。
Then he said you should recommend the avoidance of mixed Ekadashi and the performance of pure Ekadashi. You should also describe the faults in not observing Ekadashi.And one should be very careful as far as these items are concerned. If one is not careful, one will be negligent in executing devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu placed a huge emphasis on following Ekadashi properly. He even asked his mother, Mother Sachi, do me a favor, please follow Ekadashi.
那这一段呢，主要是强调这个 Ekadasi 的。Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 说呢，你应当要告诫人们要避免这种混合不存的这种 Ekadasi 的遵循的方法。你应当去强调怎么样去纯粹的去遵循 Ekadasi。就是你应当去描述 不遵循 Ekadasi 的错误。
Yes.
Yeah, 关于所有的这些这个项目呢，你应当要事无巨细，要非常仔细的去描述。如果要说到一个人，如果说他对于遵循 Ekadasi 他不谨慎小心的话，那么他就会在执行奉献服务上面疏忽懈怠。
I want to, because this is the end of the chapter, so I want to move forward. Whatever you say about Vaishnav behavior, the establishment of Vaishnav temple and deities and everything else should be supported by evidence of Puranas. In other words, anything you're going to teach should be supported by a scriptural injunction. Otherwise, people will think you just made it up.
就是我刚才还最后漏了一点，就是说，就是所以我们可以看出，切坦亚马哈帕布是非常的强调这个遵循这个 Ekadasi， 就连对他的母亲也不例外。就是他就恳求他的母亲，萨奇妈妈，让他去遵循 Ekadasi， 所可见 Ekadasi 的这个重要性。然后在这个时间里面，就是。讲到就是当你谈到这个 Vaishnava 的这个奉献者的行为的时候呢，以及这个建立 Vaishnava 神庙和神像崇拜的这个主题的时候呢，你一定要从这个 Purana， 也就是说这个往事书、宇宙古史当中去引经据典寻求证据来支持你所说的所有的这些内容。意思就是说，我们无论做什么或者是说什么的话，都是要以经典为据的。
Everything we do should be supported by scriptural evidence.
所以说我们所做的每一件的这个事情都应当要有这个经典的论据作为佐证。
So, Guru, Sadhu, Shastra.
所以我们就知道有这个Guru, Sadhu, Shastra， 这是灵性导师、圣人和经典这样的一个三重的这个原则。
Then he said you should give general and specific descriptions of the behavior and activities of a Vaishnava. You should outline things that are to be done and things that are not to be done. All these should be described as regulations and etiquette.
然后呢，他说到呢，你应当对于一个 Vaishnava 的行为和活动，进行事无巨细的描述，就是要怎么说呢？就是要就是从一个泛泛的这个角度，以及从特别细节的这个角度去进行描述，你应当去提及应当做的这些事情和不应当做的这些事情，要进行一个纲要性的描述。所有的这些呢，都应当被描述为是规范原则和这个礼仪礼节。
Now, he concludes by saying, I have thus given a synopsis of the Vaishnav regulative principles. I have given this in brief, just to give you a little direction. When you write on this subject, Krishna will help you by spiritually awakening you.
所以呢，我已经给了你有关于 Vaishnava 规范原则的一个概要。我把这些内容简短的描述于你，只是为了给你一点方向，给你一些这个指南。当你去描述这些主题的时候 ，Krishna 他会在灵性上唤醒你，给予你帮助。
So this is what we call empowerment. Lord Chaitanya gives the idea.And now Sanatan Goswami, that's to give the elaboration.
所以说呢，就是说这个就叫做被赋予这个灵性的这个能量，就是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 给了 Sanatan Goswami 一个提示，然后 Sanatan Goswami 呢，他吸收，然后呢，他再进一步的这个扩展，去就是更加详细的去阐释。
Just like he told Rupa Goswami.The science of devotional service is just like an ocean. I'm only giving you one drop.
那么这是，就像他对 Rupa Goswami 他说，那个奉爱服务的科学就好比是一个汪洋，我只不过是给予了你点滴而已。
So this actually ends the teachings of Sanatan Gos of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatan Goswami.
那么就是说到这里呢，就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 对 Sanatan Goswami 的这个教导呢就结束了。
There are a few more verses, but I want to keep them for next week.
后面还有这么几个诗节，但是我就想留给下一次的讲课。
Because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami always ends his chapters in a very beautiful way, and I don't want to rush it.
因为 Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami 他在他的 Chaitanya Charitamrita 中的每一章都是以一种非常优美的方式来结束的，所以呢。我不想太匆匆而就了。
And then we will move on to the last chapter of Madhya Lila, which is how all the residents of Varanasi became Vaishnavas.
然后我们就会讲到 Madhya Lila 的最后一章，这一章的主题就是说，这个 Varanasi 的居民是怎么都变成 Vaishnava 奉献者的。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, do we have questions?
我们看看大家有没有问题，先来看一下。OK, 有一个问题，顶拜咕噜和老师们，今天是帮忙一个正在学习奉爱瑜伽的佛教徒提问，这是一个出家多年的出家僧尼，他主要的工作就是为佛法上师煮饭。现在他处于隐蔽状态，在学习 Krishna 之觉，每天至少16圈的圣名，也正在准备规范学习成为奉献者。请教 Guru 的问题是，他没有办法去崇拜神像和向神像供奉 Prasadam 的情况下，应该如何做到不为人知的把食物变成 Prasadam 供养上师吃呢？请问如果上师每天吃到这样的食物，这也会对他带来这会给他带来什么样的好处呢？目前上师自己现在还是肉食者，有时候还需要为他烹饪肉食，请问 Guru 对现在的情况有什么建议和训示呢？感恩。 Wow, it's not an easy question. Today I'm asking a question on behalf of a Buddhist practitioner who is simultaneouslyPracticing Bhakti Yoga. This is a nun, a Buddhist nun, who has been in a temple or in an ashram for many years. Her main job is to cook for her master. Now she is secretly practicing Krishna consciousness, chanting at least 16 rounds every day, and she is also ready to practice regularly all the regular principles to become a devotee. Now the question is, in the case that one can't do deity worship and can't offer prasadam to the deities, how can one turn the food into the prasadam and offer to her masters without being known by others? If the master eats this kind of food every day, what kind of benefit can he get? But now the Buddhist master is still a meat eater, so sometimes she is forced to cook meat for the master. So considering the situation, do you have any suggestion, advice, or instruction? Thank you very much.
This meat eating is a big problem.
就是这个吃肉的这个问题是一个大问题了。
Actually, Buddhists are not supposed to eat meat.
其实按理来说，严格的佛教徒是不能吃肉的。
This is not proper Buddhism. Buddhism means vegetarian.
这个佛教好像不太正宗，因为如果说一个人他是非常正统的佛教徒的话，就应当是素食的。
Anyway, we have to understand.Understand that the practice of Krishna consciousness makes one more and more attracted to Krishna. So at some point, something has to give in.
所以说呢，就是 其实任何一个人他随着他 Krishna 知觉的这个深入的话，他会越来越被 Krishna 知觉所吸引。所以到了某一定的时候，他一定得要放弃某一种东西。
If your attraction for Krishna consciousness grows, automatically at some point it's going to offset the balance, and you're going to have to make a decision of which one you want to do full time.
所以因为当你在修习 Krishna 知觉，一步一步的深入的时候，到一定的时候，你就没有办法平衡你的这样的一种生活了。所以在那个时候，你就得做出这个选择，到底你在你的这个生活当中究竟应当以什么为重，你应当要做什么，你要做出选择。
So there's no need to do all these, follow all these Vaishnava rituals, but the chanting of Hare Krishna is the most important, and offering your own food to Krishna is also important.
那么刚才我们谈到了很多 Vaishnava 的规范原则，平常很多奉献者有在做的，他不一定要全部都做到。但是呢，有两点是必不可少的，一个就是他自己的这个圣名的这个念诵，就是 Hare Krishna Mantra。然后呢，还有一部分就是说他自己吃的这个食物，他要进行这个供奉。
As far as having to still cook meat for the master while you're chanting 16 rounds, it's very, very incompatible.
就是一方面在念诵十六圈，一方面还不得不为自己的上师去做肉吃，这两者之间真的是不太匹配。
So you can't have many masters, you can only have one master.
一个人不可能说有好几个上师，只能选择一个。
So you have to choose which master you want to serve.
所以你就得要到一定的时候，你就得选择了，我究竟要服务哪一个上师呢？
You know, in China, you have the tradition that once you have a teacher, you have a teacher for life.
就是我们中国有这样的一个俗话，一日为师，终身为父。就是说，你一旦选择了一个老师，一个上师的话，这是一辈子的事情。
And people are so emotional about this particular rule that even if the teacher is not qualified, they will still follow the teacher because the tradition says you don't give up the teacher.
因为我们的这个中国的这个传统是不能就是轻易的去背离自己的老师或者是这个上师的，所以人们对于这一点呢也是非常就是深情的去遵循的。所以说呢，就是一般人他们就不管是这个上师这个导师他做些什么不符合乎规范的，我们也会就是继续
So, if you continue chanting 16 rounds, it means that while you're chanting 16 rounds, you're asking Krishna to take you away from your situation. That's what ultimately will happen. You will have to make a decision.
所以说在你在念诵16圈的时候，就是你去祈祷 Krishna 帮助你能够摆脱目前的这个困境。所以说到一定的时候 Krishna 一定会回应于你。那么你到一定的时候就是必须得要去做出一些抉择。好了，下一个问题，说话要提供经典证据，感觉总是以经典和导师的大板子压人。用经典讲课可以吗？ So this is a question from one devotee. He said, you mentioned that we should always quote from the scriptures as evidence to support our behavior and our speakings. But it sounds like you're beating someone with the scriptures, you know, to press someone. Can we just speak without the scriptures?
Well, yeah, you can speak without the scriptures if your argument is convincing enough.
你可以不直接的去说这个经典啊，引述经典，经典是这么说的。但是有一个前提，你所做的这个论据是的确是让人心悦诚服的，就是说是绝对能够说服别人的。
Like Prabhupada, this often happened quite often with Prabhupada. Devotee people would ask him something. He says, "I'm not saying this. Krishna is saying."
你看像是在 Prabhupada 讲课的时候，经常有的人会提出质疑，然后 Srila Prabhupada 就说这话不是我说的，是 Krishna 这么说的。 就是说他在引用这个经典，说是经典里 Krishna 这样说的。
Baba said, I never said anything. Krishna is saying, I'm not saying, I'm only repeating what Krishna says.
小妈妈说，我只不过在重复 Krishna 的话，这个我这些话并不是我自己说的，所以我只是在重复 Krishna 的话。So the thing is that people feel that you quote this guru or that shastras, it's like really taking advantage of this to just to exploit over people.
Now this is a completely wrong understanding. It gives you authority. I mean, you can go to any educational institution. The teachers will not open their mouth without quoting another teacher or quoting a book.
你看你这里说很多人有这种感受，这实际上也是实际存在的，就是引经据典，说经典导师聆听导师的这个话，好像就是在利用这个经典和老师的话来压人，这种感受其实是一种误解。你不管是到哪一个学校，哪个学老师一开口的话，他一定也是要去就是的话，或者是哪一部书里面所讲的这样的一些原则，这个是避免不了的。而且就是引用导师和经典的这个话，其实反而是给你的讲述有了一个权威感。
Even when you buy a product, what are you looking at? You look at the label because you want the instruction and you want to know the authority of the product.
就算是你要买一样东西的话，买一件物品，那你也要看看上面的商标啊，然后你也要去查一下或者扫一下码呀，你去看看它的这个用户指南到底是怎么样的，你总得要去遵循一些规范，而且这个制造商他给你的就是关于如何使用这个物品的一个权威，难道你不应当去遵循吗？
So you always look for the authority.
所以说呢，每个人其实都是在找权威的。
You always quote the experts.
你总是去引用那些专家的论述。
And you may present things in your own words. That's okay.
但是你可能会用自己的话去呈现，这个是没有问题的。
And your words could be convincing.
那你的这个你所说从你口中说的话，可能也是让人心悦诚服的。
But people will say, where did you get that from?
但是别人可能接下来就会问了，你此话的出处是什么？
So you're gonna say, oh, I was just thinking about it. I thought it sounds really good, so I would say it.
所以你会说吗？这是我自己想的，我就是觉得这么说挺好的。你会这么说吗？你就会想，哎，我觉得不错，所以我就说出来了。
Chapter 10 of Bhagavad Gita, when chapter 11, after Arjuna sees the universal form, he declares, Krishna, you are the supreme personality of Godhead. Not only I say that, but all the great sages are also saying it.
那就像是这个博迦梵歌的第十一章宇宙形体，这里面当这个 Krishna 向 Arjuna 展示了整个的这个宇宙形体之后呢，这个 Arjuna 就说，哦， Krishna 你就是至尊人格首身。他会不会说，哦，这不仅我是这么说的，而且呢以前呢 Acharya 也是这样讲的。
When you have a new law that comes out in the government, you say, where is this coming from? From the authority. The government said, now you have to do like this.
那政府要是出台一道新的法令的话，那你也会要想想这话是从何而来，新的法令是谁制定的，那你就知道，哦，这是现在的这个新政府出台的一个新的这个规定，你总得要有一个出处吧。
Everyone is being bashed on the head by authorities. Everybody.
所以你要说这个压人这个东西，其实每一个人头上都是有这些权威的。
Next.
Okay, next question. 顶拜帕布马塔吉主持人和奉献者们，感恩精彩的讲课和翻译。请问主切参娘把他的教导一分为四，授予不同的四位门徒，您可以讲一下这四部分知识的传承者和所传承的知识都是什么内容吗？还有这些知识在分爱服务中所占的位置和不同的意义，感恩你。Thank you very much for your wonderful class. Lord Chaitanya divide his teachings into, to four and delivered to four different disciples. Can you please elaborate on that? Elaborate on the different hairs of the his teachings in different four different lines, and what kind of knowledge and content in different lines, and all these different knowledge, and also the position of the knowledge in the service, devotional service, and different meaning. Thank you very much.
Is this Sumukhi Raga?
Yeah.
What is, you want me to give a seminar?
你是想让我再重新讲一个完整的课吗? Maybe another time.
Basically, Lord Chaitanya took from the four different schools, the four sampradayas, he took two elements from each sampradaya and brought them together into his own personal teachings.
是这样的，就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他就好比是个集大成者，他把这个四个 Sampradaya 四个使徒传系的各自的这个精华所在，然后集中到了一起，然后再这样传授下去。
And then he took the essence of pure devotional service from different teachers who were his personal associates.
然后呢 He took. 然后又从他的这种个人，就是他跟他非常亲密的，就是联谊的这些同友那里，又从每一个同友那里获得了有关于奉爱服务的一些精髓，就是不同的，然后也把它集中到一起。
So he took some teachings from Haridas Thakur on the glories of the holy name.
所以呢，就是说他通过这个 Haridas Thakur 那里呢。他就了解到了就是说这个唱诵圣名的这个荣耀。
He took the essence of pure devotional service from Ramananda Roy.
然后又从 Ramananda Roy 那里呢萃取了这个奉爱服务的精髓。
He took the practice of devotional service from Rupa Goswami.
然后又从 Rupa Goswami 那里呢萃取了如何去从事奉爱服务的这个教导。
And the defeat of Mayavad philosophy from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
然后呢，就是在和 Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya 的这个交往当中，他击败了就是非人格主义。
So from each different personal associate, he extracted teachings.
所以说呢，他身边有这么几个亲密的这个同友，所以他就是从中萃取到了这个各自的这个精华。
So this is in essence. Otherwise, your question requires at least 2 hours of presentation.
这个是一个简单的一个描述，不然的话，如果要详细的讲起来的话，可能要需要两个小时的时间，至少两个小时的时间才能说清楚。顶拜帕布马太吉和所有的奉献者 Hare Krishna， 我想问给家人烹饪鸡蛋问题大吗？ So Hare Krishna， I want to ask if I cook eggs for the family members， is this a big problem or not？
Yes， it is。
这的确是一个大问题。
Eggs is purely in a mode of ignorance。
鸡蛋是 100% 的愚昧形态的食物。
SoAgain, we have the difficulties of being a family environment where people are not devotees.
所以说呢，这个呢，又是回到了我们的老话题，就是说我们很多奉献者都是和非奉献者的家人生活在一起的。
And, you know, maybe they should learn how to make their own eggs. Why do you have to cook eggs for them?
就是他们这个鸡蛋他们能不能自己做，就不要劳驾你来做了，这个能不能做到呢？
And surely don't offer what you cook.
当然了，即便是你做了的话，那你也不能去供奉。
This is very, very difficult situation.
所以呢，对你来说，这是一个很不容易的。
Devotees should not expect to make huge amount of spiritual progress in this kind of situation. It's going to be a very, very slow journey.
就是说，如果奉献者就是这些问题还是没有办法避免的话，那么在他的奉爱服务的这个休息的道路上，可能这个脚步就会迈得非常的慢了，这将会是一个比较漫长的旅程。
Krishna can be very merciful. The spiritual master can be very merciful. The devotees are very merciful. But still, there is a certain standard that one must reach in order to make tangible progress.
就是说可能灵性导师 Krishna 奉献者都非常的仁慈但是呢有一些规范原则是不能避免的只有你去严格的遵循去做了然后你才能有非常明显的在这个奉爱道路上的这个进步是可知可感的这种进步 Okay, Samuhirada Mataji said, if possible, it will be nice to have a lecture series on this topic.
A series?
Oh, not serious. Maybe just a lecture on that.
Well, on this topic. We will see when we finish the Chaitanya Charitamrita.
我们可以等到 Chaitanya Charitamrita 就是这一轮讲完之后我们可以考虑。我们可以看一下情况。 So the question, next question is, my question is, what's the relationship between the super soul, the real self, and the self? Okay, that's literally what she wrote. The real self and myself. It's mixing something.
There's no such a thing as myself and the real self.
这个真我与自己,这两个是不能分开的,没有这样的一个说法。
So you have to look in the Bhagavad Gita in chapter
13.
Where the position of the self, which is the spirit soul, and the position of the super soul is described.
在这第十三章当中呢，就是讲到了这个个体灵魂和超灵啊，这都非常详细的。So
the self is the spirit soul.
这个自我呢就是灵魂
So that spirit soul has spiritual qualities
那么这个灵魂这个个体灵魂它是有灵性的特质的
Which are similar to the qualities of Krishna
这个特质就是从这个质来说 它是跟Krishna是一致的
But in very minute quantity
但是非常的微小
For example, you may be conscious and aware of your own mind, body, and senses, but that's all. You cannot go beyond that.
比如说，你可能可以觉知到自己的躯体，对你的躯体、你的心意和思想，你是有所觉知的。但是你只是局限于你自己这个个人，你没有办法了解别人的。But
Krishna, as the super soul, is aware and conscious of every single being in the material world and the spiritual world all at the same time.
但是呢, Krishna, 作为至尊的灵魂的话, 他是在同一个时间,不仅对于物质世界,还是在灵性世界, 所有的这个众生, 所有的这个灵魂, 他都可以同时的, 觉知到, 感知到, 了解到。
So that's one major difference.
所以这个就是个体灵魂, 就是这个自我和
Otherwise, the quality is similar.
否则的话，从这个品质而言的话是一致的。So
read chapter 13. It's very nicely explained.
你可以读一下第十三章，在这里面很有详细的了解。So when she said that myself, I think what she means is false ego, as opposed to real self, the real ego.
Well, it's a question of identity. The myself means my body, my mind, and my senses. The real self is the spirit soul within the body.
我在说呢，我说你用这里用词语用自己，你可能意思就是想问的是假我。那么这个自我，通常一个人他还没有纯粹的时候，他只是感觉到。 我自己就是这个躯体、这个心意和这个感官，所以是在这个物质的范畴里面的。而这个真我呢，就是真正的这个灵魂，它是灵性的，指的是灵魂，所以这个就是区别所在。Next question, Hare Krishna, 顶拜 Guru, 感谢翻译，履行物质上的职责，带着Krishna的支持。 学工作、照顾家庭，表面上看上去是物质的，因为内心想着 Krishna， 所以这个活动就灵性化了，对吗？如果物质的问题灵性解决 不履行物质职责，专门去做灵性活动，那内心想着为了解决物质问题，那是不是就灵性活动物质化了？我这样的理解对吗？So I would like you to confirm about my understanding whether it is right or wrong. So the first part is to perform the material duties, but with a Krishna consciousness, for example, taking care of the family members. Externally, it looks like material, but because you think about Krishna in your heart, so this seemingly material world has already turned into spiritual activities. Is that right? And on the other hand, if someone has been doing devotional service, externally spiritual activities, however in the heart he is always thinking about how to solve the material problems. So in this case, this kind of devotees, they are not performing their material duties as a full-time spiritual activities. So can we say that this kind of spiritual activities is actually materialized? Is my understanding correct or not?
Yes, it's a very good question, a very good point.
你提的这个问题提得非常好，而且还问，就是问到了这个点子上，这是一个非常重要的要点。
So in connection, the point you're making in connection to the other questions regarding cooking for the master, or cooking for the family.
就是联系到前面的两个问题，一个是为自己的上师去做饭和做肉，然后还有一个是为家人做饭，就是联系前面的两个问题呢。
You can be very nicely situated in Krishna consciousness even by being with family members who are not devotees.
就是说即使是在这样的一种情况下，你即便是跟你非奉献者的家人居住在一起，你内在而言依然可以非常具备这个 Krishna 直觉。
But the danger is we have to be careful not to create a kind of consciousness that says I'm very sincere and I'm very happy in Krishna consciousness and therefore even if I do something for my family it's okay.
但是呢就是说你这里有一个危险，很微妙，就是说你自己可能觉得，哦，我非常有 Krishna 直觉，我在 Krishna 直觉中非常的真诚，也是非常的快乐，那么我跟我的家人无论做什么都是可以接受的，都是可以的。
So, you know, there are different forms of duties.
这个责任呢它也有不同的种类。
So you have family duties such as caring for the parents, caring for the children, being active in the family. All these are okay, but when it comes down to reducing one's standards and to be affected by other people's consciousness, then it's very questionable.
那么履行这个家庭的职责，比如说你去照顾自己的父母，赡养父母，然后去这个照顾抚养你的孩子，这些规范就是这些物质活动、世俗活动都是没有问题的，都是履行物质责任。但是假如说你进一步变成就是去在你的灵性的原则上面进行妥协退让，然后降低你的这个标准，然后在和他们生活的过程当中吸收了那些非奉献者的这些意识和知觉的话，那这个时候就会有一些问题了。
So ultimately purity has to prevail.
所以说呢在这里呢总而言之呢这个纯粹是最重要的，无论你做什么事情都要以这个纯粹为最高的标准。
And it takes a remarkable effort to remain purely Krishna conscious in that kind of environment.
所以在这样的一种艰难的处境当中要保持一种纯粹的标准的话，的确是要付出巨大的努力。
And, you know, it's a challenge, but there are examples of devotees who live in a family environment where no one is a devotee, and they reach a level where they manage to convince everyone in the family.
但是呢我们也有这样的一些例子，就是说在一个完全没有奉献者在的一个家庭里面，一个奉献者他可以保持非常好的 Krishna 知觉，然后做得非常好，以至于 就是慢慢的连他的家人都被他感动了，心悦诚服了，然后他还能够把他的家人转变成为奉献者，这种先例也是有的。
So you reach a level where your Krishna consciousness is so mature that two things happen.
所以你可以达到这样的一个层面，就是你的这个 Krishna 知觉已经达到了很成熟的这个阶段了，这个时候会有两个方面展示出来。
Either you turn the whole family into devotees, or you reach a point where they all respect your position as a devotee.
就是一种情况，就是说你可以把你的家人转变成为奉献者，然后另外一种情况就是说你的家人对你的这个奉献者的身份建立了尊重。
You are a good wife, you are a good mother, you are a good daughter-in-law. They respect that. You do your duty perfectly, but give me my space to practice my Krishna consciousness.
就是说你做好你的这个妻子的这个角色，然后你也是一个孩子的好母亲啊，丈夫的好妻子，公公婆婆的好儿媳，然后你一切都做得非常好，让他们无可挑剔，然后让他们去尊重你，因为你无可挑剔，所以你就可以跟他们说，我需要有我自己的这个空间，我自己个人的空间就是我的 Krishna 知觉的这个休息，那他们也是会尊重的。
It's not that you're in the kitchen cooking eggs or boiling chicken and you go, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe. No.
所以不能说在这个厨房里一边煮着鸡蛋做着这个鸡肉，然后一边唱着 Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe. 这个是不行的。
No. There has to be a standard.
这个标准是必不可少的。
So this is the challenge for devotees.Who really, really sincerely want to progress in Krishna consciousness, and they have to make their values known to the rest of the members.
所以说呢，对于那些在 Krishna 知觉当中非常真诚、努力求取精进的奉献者来说，这的确是一个很大的这个挑战。你要想方设法的让你的家人理解你的价值观。
Now, the other side of your comment that there are devotees who are easily able to practice Krishna consciousness, but in their heart, they are cultivating material desires.
那么，然后我们再继续讲你这个问题的后面半个部分，就是有一些奉献者，他们可能这个环境是很宽松的，他可以很好的去休息 Krishna 知觉，去做灵性的活动，但是内心不知不觉在培养很多的物质欲望。
So this is also discussed very nicely in Srimad Bhagavatam.
在圣涅薄伽瓦坛当中对此也有非常精彩的论述。
That one way or another, even if you have material desires, you still worship Krishna.
就是无论怎么样不管你是有物质欲望还是没有物质欲望，无论在任何的情况下，你应当继续的去修习 Krishna 知觉。
And gradually those material desires will disappear.
然后慢慢慢慢的，久而久之，这些物质欲望就会烟消云散。
Because you will be brought to a stage where Krishna and the Guru will ask you, now you have to make a choice. You stop cultivating material desires,Or you're going to lose your Krishna consciousness.
因为你慢慢的走着，你一定会到这样的一个节点上，就是这个时候呢 ，Krishna 或者是你的灵性导师就会说呢，你就得做出选择了，你到底要你的物质欲望，你还是要你的 Krishna 知觉，两者只能取其一。
Because it's not a mechanical process. Again, we should always remember this is about establishing a personal relationship with the Supreme.Person who has senses, desires, feelings, emotions, and you can't put these into a mechanical process.
所以我们要知道，修习 Krishna 知觉绝对不是一种非常机械的、程序化的一种修习方法。因为你在修习的过程当中，你面对的是至尊人格首身，是个至尊主，他是人格性的，他是有感官、有心意、有情感、有爱好的。所以说这绝对你在休息的过程当中这绝对不是一个机械性的事情。
It's like you get married to somebody, but then you spend all your time in front of a TV, all your time on your phone, and Why do you get married if you don't need a relationship?
就比如说呢，你结婚了，但是你一天从早到晚呢，都是盯着那个大电视这个屏幕，或者是看着你的手机，根本就不理会你身边的这个人。那既然如此，你都不要这样的一种关系的相互的滋养，那你何必还要结婚呢？
So we come into Krishna consciousness because we are looking for the perfect relationship with Krishna, and we have to show it in a practical way, not in a mechanical way.
所以呢，我们就是加入到 Krishna 知觉当中，其实就是要去展示 Krishna 知觉当中的这种完美的、纯粹的这种关系。但是呢，我们不是以一种非常机械的方式去呈现的。
So, of course, it's expected when you practice Krishna consciousness, you will still have material desires, but those material desires are expected to disappear.
当然在你修习 Krishna 知觉的这个同时，内心当中依然也有一些这个物质的欲望，有的时候还会在滋长，这个也不是一件奇怪的事，很正常。但是呢，按理来说，就是你随着你不断的灵修的这个深入的话，那些物质欲望就会逐渐的消失的。
And if they don't disappear, you will disappear.
如果说内心中的物质欲望不消失的话，那你就会消失了。
Because there's only Krishna or Maya, there's nothing in between.
因为 Krishna 和 Maya, 这个两个是不相容的，两个之间没有什么兼容之道。
So this is a business of love, this is a business of the heart. Bhakti yoga is not yoga asana.It's the yoga of the heart.
所以这个是核心，就是在于爱，在于你的内心的这个世界。这个不是 yoga asana, 瑜伽的这种体式的这个修炼，这个是心灵的瑜伽，心灵瑜伽，而不是体式瑜伽，
so,
体位瑜伽。
We are always brought to a stage where we have to make a decision.
所以呢，我们迟早都会到这样的一个阶段，我们不得不去做出抉择。
And if you want to know what it looks like to make a decision, you go through every single verse of the Shikshastakam, the prayers of Lord Chaitanya. Then you will understand how a devotee feels from the neophyte platform to the most elevated platform.
那你如果想了解一下在这条道路上每一个阶段面临抉择的时候都是一种什么样的感觉，那我就请你去深入的去读一下 Shikshastakam, 就是主的八训规。因为在这八段诗文当中已经覆盖到了一个从最初级的开始修习奉爱的服务的一个人，一直到最高的纯粹的境界的一个奉献者他所要经历的所有的阶段。
Or if you read the songs written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there are two sections. One is called Gitavali, and the other one is called Sharanagati.
然后呢，在 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 写的那些歌曲里面呢，它其实主要是分成两个部分，一个是 Gitavali, 还有一个是 Sharanagati.
And he describes in every song what he went through in his childhood, what he went through with his family members, what he started feeling when he began to practice Krishna consciousness. And then in Sharanagati, it's all glorification of Krishna in appreciation for having made that decision to turn to Krishna.
那么在第一个部分，在 Gitavali 当中呢，就是 Bhaktivinoda Thakur 在歌曲里面呢唱到了他这个童年的时候他的这个处境是怎么样的，他的家庭是怎么样的，然后他又是怎么做了这个决定开始修习 Krishna 知觉的。然后在 Sharanagati 这个部分呢，他就完全是直接的对至尊主 Krishna 的这个荣耀和赞美，然后感恩于他帮助他在人生的这个关键的时刻帮助他做出了正确的这个抉择，他转向了 Krishna, 皈依了这个 Krishna, 修习 Krishna 知觉了。
You look at the life of the Acharyas, they went through the same thing, born in a family of people who don't practice, even if they are Brahmanas, they're not Vaishnavas, and how they managed to remain Krishna conscious in those situations.
那我们要看一下历代先师这些 Acharya 们他们的这个生活生平的话，你也会发现也是很多都是相似的这个处境。比如说他们出生在 非奉献者的这个家庭里面，或者即便是出生在一个婆罗门的这个家庭里面的话，这个婆罗门也只是停留在婆罗门，还不是 Vaishnava 奉献者。所以这些 Acharya 们他们也都经历了这些困难，然后他们又是怎么样走出来的。
So we have to read to get the example and inspiration. This is how they did it.
所以呢，我们就要去寻找我们的这个榜样，我们的这个典范，可以去激励我们的这些榜样，那你就可以知道我们的先人他们是怎么做到的。
Prabhupada's sister was living with a husband who was a meat eater.
就像 Prabhupada 的妹妹，她的丈夫是一个吃肉很厉害的一个人。
And she was initiated.By Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati.
而且呢，他呢是就是接受了 Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 的启迪，就是他的这个妹妹。
And she asked, "Should I leave home?" He said, "No, don't leave home. Just be patient."
所以他就提了一个问题，说我是不是应当要离家出走，离开我这个家庭？但他得到的答复就是说，你不能离开家，你还是在家待着，你要有耐心。
And it took many years, but the husband turned around and he appreciated her service and he respected her Krishna consciousness.
那就是这个历程是非常的漫长的，经过了很多年之后，她的丈夫就转变了，开始去尊重她的奉献，服务，尊重她的 Krishna 直觉。
So these are real situations.
所以这些都是一些真实的一些先例啊。
And we have to be inspired by how they managed to succeed, no matter what the circumstances were.
所以说无论他们处于什么样的这种困境当中，他们都没有气馁，他们最终获得了灵性上的这个成功，我们要从他们的这个榜样上面去汲取这个力量和鼓舞。
So, thank you for bringing up that point. We have to keep discussing this situation because this is not going away.
真是非常感谢你又提出了这个问题。这个问题呢，我们会继续的讨论下去，因为这个问题还没有得到最终的解决，就是现在依然是存在的，而且不断的被提起。
Okay, one last, and then we have to go.
This is the end already.
This?
My obeisance is to Guru. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we'll stop now.
好了，那我们今天的讲课就到这里。
Thank you very much.Krishna Kumari Mataji.
非常感谢 Krishna Kumari Mataji.
Thank you to all the devotees for listening patiently and your questions.
非常感谢大家非常耐心的聆听以及你们提出的好问题。
Thank you Krishna Premi for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi 的翻译。
And we are praying that everyone will have a wonderful celebration of Lord Nityananda's appearance day.You please pray so that he can bestow your mercy upon you because he is the most merciful personality in the three worlds.
那我们呢也是祝福，祝愿大家能够过一个非常好的难忘的这个主尼迦南达的显现日。你们要非常就是全身心的向主尼迦南达去祈祷，因为的确主尼迦南达它就是这个物质三界上中下三个世界当中最有仁慈的奉献者灵性导师了。
Lord Nityananda is very, very merciful. You please hang on to his lotus feet. You will have no problem.
主尼迦南达是极其极其仁慈的，你只要紧紧的抓住他的莲花足，他就能够帮助你，所有的问题都会。就是迎刃而解。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Sanatan Goswami ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kashadesh Yatra ki jai, Go Premanande Hari Hari Bol。
百坤台知音服务源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，今天的永恒的且参念经师且参念 Charitamrita 的讲课就到这里结束了。我们今天呢？已经讲到了中篇逍遥 Madhya Lila 的第24章的末尾，那么下一次的这个课应当就结束了 Madhya Lila。 好，非常感谢大家的聆听，祝大家度过充满 Krishna 知觉的一天。 Hare Krishna。